Welcome to Hey Sis Unfiltered.
We are your hosts, Melissa Forbush and Amy McAllister, and this is our soul-to-soul episode.
Y'all, today I'm so excited about this one. I know you guys have seen on social media the trend that's going around talking about how social media is fake. These are the things that I struggle with that I don't necessarily post. Y'all, that is what we are going to tackle today. And I'm so excited because Ames and I love being authentically authentic, and this is one of the ways that we can do that, which is gonna, it's a little bit scary.
It's hugely terrifying, but it's also something we're known for. Obviously, we've talked about the front farts episode that went viral years ago. We have no issue talking about our issues and things that we struggle with. And we just want to create a safe space for people to be able to do the same because we are all dealing with this. It's something that is very, very real.
So, and you know what? That leads right into, do you mind if I just, let's dive in, Ames.
Go for it.
Okay, imposter syndrome. This mofo is freaking real. It doesn't matter if every single post, podcast episode, it scares the shit out of me. And listen, I imagine different people I know listening or reading my posts, and sometimes it can send me into a spiral, feeling vulnerable, which is overloaded, and I always want to take it down. But I know that imposter syndrome is real. I just feel like sometimes we have to remind ourselves that this is not me. It's imposter syndrome. My content isn't boring or uninspiring or poorly executed, or I know that I'm feeling like I'm not enough, but damn it, it's imposter syndrome.
But also, how many people comment on your stuff and say, I wish I had your confidence. I wish I was as brave as you. And you are faking it till you make it. It's not because you're out there thinking like, I am the shit.
I am hot shit. Dance
moves. Although we all love your dance moves, and we especially love when you're doing them with Kyson. It's so amazing. However, you're on there going, oh my gosh, I have to do this again. I know I have to do this again. Fake it till you make it. And people are questioning like, how do you do it? How do you do it?
Well, and you know what? Honestly, I always go back to, like, you can tell the days where I'm struggling with confidence because this has been my go-to for years now. If I start to get in my head and overthink everything and question me, my worth, what I look like, you name it, I immediately think, okay, you know what? I'm going to go dance in my car. I'm going to record it. And I'm going to show that when you're struggling, this will help you get out of that. And so that's kind of been my go-to. And over the last couple of years, I've learned to just share it because I hear from people all the time that talk about how, yes, they struggle with imposter syndrome. How did you get over imposter syndrome? And I'm like, girlfriend, no, I didn't get over Jack Squat. It.
Exactly.
That shit is real here today.
For as long as I've known you, this is something we have done. We started lip syncing, dubbing, whatever, dancing in the car, posting long time ago before any of this was a big deal. And people used to make fun of us, or we would hear like, whatever.
You guys are crazy.
Yeah, seriously. Like, but it doesn't matter. It's something you've always done. And I love that you have now realized that that brings you joy. That brings you that sense of, I'm okay. I don't have to be what anyone else thinks I have to be. I don't care who sees this and thinks, boy, she thinks she's all that. It's not about that. It's about, this is an endorphin release for you. This is a dopamine release for you. This reminds you that life is good. Life can be happy. And you go for it. And the fact that you post it is beautiful because that's giving people permission to do the same.
Well, and honestly, sometimes it is scary to share the hard moments because I've worked in the mindset and, I mean, and the finance space, but I feel so passionate about being real and authentic because that is so, so much a part of the mindset world. And sometimes when I go to post that, like, oh man, I'm feeling off, or oh, I feel insanely frustrated in this moment, I'm still deconditioning myself that, like, listen, yes, I've been in that space, and you know, people may know me as someone who is highly focused on mindset. That doesn't mean that I don't still struggle. That means that I struggle for a moment. I recognize I live in that feeling or that emotion, and then I get the hell out. I think that's the difference.
That's a huge difference. But what do you struggle with? Let's talk about that.
You're right. Thank you for pulling me back. Yep.
Imposter syndrome. Yep. I struggle. I throw it out there. What are you struggling with?
Okay. We talked a little bit about self-confidence, right? I've always struggled with self-confidence. I grew up having terrible acne and no friends my age. I've always struggled with friendships. So I never really felt like I was enough. And add in that the last couple of years, y'all, I have 4 freaking children. My body has changed. And all of that has struggled. I've lost 75% of my hair. I really have struggled and had to learn where my self-confidence comes from.
And what have you found?
It all derives from, where am I getting my self-confidence from? Other people? Am I getting it from my accomplishments? Which is what I tend to do. Honestly, I'm a perfectionist. You know this, Ames.
Oh, do I know this? Which is one of your best and worst qualities.
Yes. Yes. It is a love-hate relationship. But that's what I always go back to with my confidence is, okay, am I proud of myself? It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I know my truth. And if I'm proud of that, then that's where I'm learning to get my confidence from, which is a daily struggle. And then I go listen to 90s music in the car and dance my little heart out.
Because 90s music is where it is at. That is the only thing I can dance to. My kids put on this modern stuff and I'm just like, yo.
Let's go back. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have struggled with this too, because we've talked about this.
So it's been so hard. I mean, especially those who know me know I have gone through like huge body image transformations, and it's silly that it has become something that I've identified with, but I gained pounds in a very short amount of time, and then basically closed off from the world because I was so self-conscious. I was so insecure. I didn't want to run into people and see that reaction, because there was always that reaction like, oh, hey, so-and-so. And they would look at me for a half second before they'd realize it was me. And that was a really difficult thing to be like, I have to throw in a qualifier. I have to say, hi, it's Amy. I know I don't look the same. I've put on a lot of weight. It's still me. And so I just retreated. And I stayed behind the camera. I wanted to post things with my family for my own memories, but I didn't want to be in front of the camera. It was a huge struggle. And then, real talk, those that know me know, I had bariatric surgery in May of last year. I have lost 90 pounds so far. I still have a little bit to go, and I still have the same issues. It's crazy. You think that like, okay, we're coming back, but now I got that, and now I got these.
Wait, for those of you that are just listening to the audio, y'all need to go to YouTube and see the video so you can see what we're talking about.
Like, look, you can see a muscle there, but the muscle doesn't do shit for the flap underneath. And that's a horrible thing to have to reconcile with, especially in the society we live in, where looks and self-worth and image, and honestly, I'm not being conceited, but I've always been considered pretty. I always knew that I was attractive. And then this weight gain came and changed who I felt I was as a person, which is so crazy, because nothing internally changed. Nothing about who I am, who I want to be, changed. And then this outer shell got thicker and wider and bigger, and it became a protection. And I started retreating from society and from my friendships, and all the people that I used to be very close with know this.
I know this firsthand.
Suffered from this firsthand for over a year, and it's awful. But even still, you know, I've lost this weight. I'm starting to feel more confident. I'm starting to be involved in my own family photos.
Yeah.
But I still feel like I maybe need to throw on some Facetune. Oop. Maybe need to smooth out this roll. Oop. Maybe need to smooth out this wrinkle. It's horrible, the things that we struggle with and we don't share when we know everyone else does. And weight and self-image is such a huge issue for people from, you know, 10 years old to 90 years old. I literally was listening to a podcast episode today with Jane Fonda, where she talks about she will never be naked in front of a new man again. Jane Fonda, the queen
Jane
of aerobics,
freaking Fonda.
The woman who looks better at 87 than any woman in the history of women has ever looked. And she flat out said, I have scars, I have holes, I have pot marks, I have sagging skin. I will never be naked in front of a man again. Therefore, I will not date again. All of us struggle with it.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yep.
All of
Nobody's
us.
Immune.
Nobody's immune.
So what do you do to overcome that?
What do you do to overcome that, Liz? Seriously, it's one of those things where I have had to truly physically restrain myself from plugging a picture into Facetune and just say, it does not matter. Here I am. I'm recording this podcast. We can't Facetune this. I can't trim out the arm jiggle, the jowls, the double chin, the saggy skin. This is who I am. And talking to you and having these conversations is when I feel the most alive. So why am I going to go turn around and try to edit that out? Why am I going to try and make this more appealing to the men of the world, the other women of the world, to anybody? And what am I teaching my daughter? My daughter, who is constantly the one saying, Mom, you look amazing. You look great. And if I'm sitting there like, I can lose a little more weight. Like, what am I teaching her?
Yeah.
As a future woman, especially, I mean, not a future woman. She's a woman now. She's 19, but she grew up in the social media world.
Yeah.
The pressure and the expectations surrounding her and all the girls that will come after her is horrendous. So as the old timers, you and I and generations, you know, above and beyond us need to be the ones to be like, girl, I'm here. Here's a roll. Can I dip this down for you? Can I show you that there's some rolls there, girl? I'm okay. And if that means that there's a man out there that doesn't want to date me because I got a roll down there,
yep.
Bye-bye.
I love that, Amy. I keep going back to when we show up in this manner, it gives space and the ability for others to show up as well. Exactly. And that is what I love about what we're doing. We're not trying to be, you know, a podcast like everybody else. No, we're trying to just be authentic. And if we struggle and we have a body roll, we're going to freaking show the body roll.
If we got an arm jiggle,
yes.
We're going to show the arm
jiggle. Bring out the jiggles.
We will show the jiggle. And we're not going to filter our language, and we're not going to edit out every mistake we make, and we're not going to talk about how beautiful and perfect our lives are, because Lord Almighty, there's some messed up shit going on in our lives.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Life is freaking hard, dude. It's tough. We cry, we struggle, we swear, we complain, and we hurt. And that is normal. And sometimes I think that social media or even just society helps us think that that is not expected and that the majority of people don't do those things, when in reality, that's just not the case. Yes.
And I think that's what's so beautiful about this moment and people coming out and saying, like, look, this is my social profile. This is my real life. And more and more and more and more and more people are being honest and authentic about it. Yep. And it's bringing out more and more and more and more vulnerability with people feeling like they can finally share. And it's a beautiful thing about social media that took a while to get there.
Yep.
But it's something.
But we're here.
And we are here. Yep. And what is this conversation going to do for somebody? It may just be one person out of hundreds of listeners, hundreds of friends, followers, whatever. But if it helps the one, isn't it worth it?
Yes, 100%.
If it's your daughter, if it's your best friend, if it's your sister, if it's your mother that's struggling, don't you want them to hear the message that resonates with them?
I love that. Okay, so self-confidence. What else? What else do you struggle with, Ames?
Oh my gosh. Everything. Let's talk about, first of all, we had a guest on last week, Kim Olson, talked about mom guilt.
Yeah.
The mom guilt actually affects your self-confidence. Like, you see these posts, these pictures, these beautiful families, these women that seem to have it all together, these kids that are all perfectly coiffed and involved in all these extracurriculars and whatnot. And then you look at me, and I went to rehab in 2000, dude. I've had two marriages since then that failed. I have literally had to send my kids to live with their dad and stepmom while I tried to get my life back together. I feel like now, as a 47-year-old woman who is no longer married or attached to anyone.
That's not true. I've seen you with your dog, and you're freaking attached to that dog.
I am so attached to my puppy.
Sorry, you met human. Human.
He's my new man, but human man. And it's, you know, I feel like I've finally become the mother that I always wanted to be when I wasn't able to be that mother, you know, a decade ago or longer. But that greatly affects my self-confidence even today. I feel like I'm still trying to now make up for that. I'm trying to reassure them, like, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, and I want to be here. And I know I made mistakes, and I know that they have led to some significant trauma and heartache and difficulties that you guys are now having to deal with. And I will pay for that therapy.
We
already talked about my self-confidence, because if I'm not a good mother, forget the rest of it. I can be an amazing nurse. I can lose weight. I can be living the dream in Hawaii. If I'm not a good mother, F all the rest of that. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it's not just like image or finances or, you know, the luxury of the life we have. It's also who we are as a mother, who we are as a daughter. You want to talk about another issue? I mean, you know this. I just had an amazing session with an energy healer that I thought I was going to go into and get like some, here's the direction for your life. You should be writing. You should be podcasting. You should be doing this, this, and this. And within 2 minutes, she's like, let's talk about your mom. And then it was a deep dive into all of these issues that I haven't been willing to deal with. And they affect who I am as a person. Self-confidence isn't just about what you put out there. It's also where you've come from, where you are, and where you're going, and your ability to reconcile all of that. And the more we can talk about all of that stuff, the more we can talk about like, look, I had these issues in my childhood that I didn't realize were issues until I started really dealing with them. Did I have a bad childhood? No, but there are things we should be talking about.
Good. I love what you just said, because I want to pull out that nugget. Your self-confidence is where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. That is so beautiful. And I can relate to that because I've been pretty open in the last little bit about struggling with postpartum depression. And I have so much guilt about that year and a half, 2 years where I didn't know what was going on. And just the way I was parenting was, oh man, it was intense. And I didn't know that I had all of this emotion that I was trying to deal with. But it has been so beautiful now because I feel like I am healing a part of my mother that I didn't know needed to be healed. So I'm home, which I haven't done in the last 5 years, and I'm struggling. This is another thing I'm struggling with. I'm so driven. I'm so determined. I have a vision for my future and the way that I want things to go, but I struggle being present because of that crystal clear vision that I have of my life that I want someday. And I'm dedicated to that, but I also feel so strongly that I am healing a part of me because I'm able to parent so different than I was a few years ago. But honestly, with that being said, I've learned since I dove into, you know, the just depression and a long time. I mean, my youngest is almost six. She's 5 and a half. So postpartum, I don't think I can still claim that, but yet I still struggle with depression to this day, and how I've been able to really overcome and have it not be as controlling of my life is admit it. I talk about it. I have the tools. When I start to feel those yucky thoughts, or when I start to have really bad days where I start to spiral and think that I shouldn't be here, which has happened, I immediately talk to someone. I tell someone, and then I also tell them what I'm going to do about it, whether that's me feeling like I need to reevaluate my medication, or, you know, go outside, commit
or
to
have a solo car dance off,
or start a podcast.
Or start a podcast.
So that we can have therapy via episodes.
I'm not even going to try to sing because of Casey can't tell. I am overcoming a cough and illness that maybe will be disclosed in a future episode. Everything that you just said. And so you're willing to talk to people about it. But how long did it take you to get to that point? Because
it took me a long time.
Dark time with you a few years ago.
Yeah, and it was really dark.
How did you finally come around to the point where you're able to start talking about it?
Is this where you want me to give you the credit that you deserve, my love? Because you deserve it. Y'all, this woman forced me. Let's just put it there. I did not know that I was what I was feeling. I was feeling overwhelmed. I was feeling all negative. Let's just be honest. This is what this episode's about. Y'all, I had a plan in place. I knew exactly what I was going to do. I felt like my kids, my husband, they deserved someone that was not me. So I had a plan, and I knew exactly how I was going to execute that plan. And then my dear best friend forced me to come to her office, which was weird. I should have known. But she forced me to come to her office, and all of a sudden we're in her office talking to one of the docs, and then she leaves the room and she's like, oh, I need to go get something off the printer.
Yes. It was a very important printout.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. But it was, and I will forever be so grateful for you following that intuition, because I was in such a dark place. But the reality is I didn't know. So it wasn't like I'm like, oh, I'm so depressed and I need someone to help me. I didn't know that I was. I didn't know that I needed help. I didn't know that there were options for me. I just didn't know. All I knew is I was absolutely miserable, and I felt so trapped not being able to talk about it. I mean, you know how it is. Like, we grew up with parents who are like, open up your damn blinds.
Seriously, you're fine. Go for a run, read your scriptures, say a prayer. You're gonna be fine.
That's have you listened to a conference talk? Seriously, those help.
Be fine. And the funny thing is I didn't realize how dark you were until years later when we started talking about this. I didn't know you had a plan. I just saw that there was a difference in you and that there was a struggle. And I think this is the most important thing is you see something, you say something. And I have kids who have dealt with extreme suicidal ideation, with depression. And, you know, it's one of those things, again, when we talk about self-confidence and things we struggle with, I feel like I gave that to them. And it is so hard for me to not just beat myself up over it, even though I know it's genetic, but I'm like, oh, they also watched me struggle with this. Their dad, nah, it's never been an issue. Me, it's been an issue. It's been a theme throughout my life, trying to help these kids deal with these things. And that's something that I was able to kind of recognize because of the issues that I've had. I've also been to a point where I literally was on my knees every single day praying to make the noise in my head quiet. And I drank myself through every day. I drank and I watched Friends. I drank and I watched Friends. I have every line of every season memorized because of how many times I've watched it. But it was because like it got to a point where I had to quit my job. Yeah. I could not function. You are speaking out about it. You are saying, I didn't recognize this, but this is something I've dealt with. People come onto your page, they see you dancing and laughing and confident and happy. And then they go back a few posts and see you start talking about your struggles and your story. And what people still don't even see on social media because you don't put it out there is what you share in your, when you go out and you speak publicly to these conferences and to these women's groups where you actually talk about this. And I think that's so important again with the, what do we struggle with? How much do we talk about it? Because you don't know what comment, what story, what experience you share that is literally going to be the push that gets the stone rolling down the mountain that makes a difference in someone else's life.
I think about this often, and it's honestly why I started sharing, because I think about when I was at that place, what would have happened or how different would I have felt if I knew that my rage was not because I was a shitty mom. My rage was literally chemical, and me not addressing the chemical issues is neglect more so than me being a shitty mom. Right. So that, I mean, I thought that I was just a mean mom. I was just mad and screaming and I had no patience and I just didn't love being a mom. And I know that a lot of people didn't dare, at least at that time for me, most people didn't dare say that. And I remember, and honestly, you talk about how it starts to get the ball rolling, right? There was someone on social media talking about how they didn't love being a mom and how they had to get some help with their mental health first, and then they were able to embrace and find the joy again. That is honestly what gave me the confidence to start talking about it. And this last year has been a journey of trying to figure out my health and my hormones and bring down my cortisol, all the things. I feel like this needs to be a pamphlet when you turn 30, like, hey, sweetheart, here you go. This is your second puberty. And I mean, maybe that's the book that we write, Ames.
Second puberty with Liz and Ames.
Yes.
Here is your guide to your second puberty.
Yes. You may start having front farts. That's just normal with getting older.
Found age 40. You don't have to stress at 30. That will come though. And no, we're not talking queefs, you weirdos. We are literally talking farts because the body changes, okay? That's all I'm going to say. So maybe I'll read that post someday on an episode.
Do we need to petition to have this added into the dictionary so that people know exactly what this is?
Second period or front fart? What are we talking about here?
Hell, both. This needs to come in our second, or in our book, y'all. Okay. Your second puberty.
Your second puberty, aka front farting uncontrollably. I'll share the poem I wrote about it.
Oh, I can't wait. But with that being said, y'all, with this whole journey of figuring out really who I am, what's going on, how am I feeling, it's also led to discover that it's okay. I don't need to be ashamed. And that's, again, part of why I share it on social media, is because I know so many of us struggle with this. And people look at me and they're like, she's so confident. She's willing to dance with her teenager on TikTok. I'm willing to do that because I know that the most confident people in the universe still struggle.
Still struggle.
Yep.
Still fake it.
Yep. Yep. And they still twerk on TikTok occasionally and then regret it heavily afterwards.
But then it goes viral and they're like, okay, I guess it was fine.
This is a conversation that happened this morning laying in bed. My 7-year-old is starting to twerk. And I'm like, stop it.
Shocking.
Please stop.
He's your child.
Yeah. And his exact words, Mom, you twerked once on TikTok with Kyson and it went viral. It's like, oh,
shit. He's like, I want to be famous, yo. What's this booty shake?
But hello, like that ties into exactly what you said earlier. Our kids are watching us. And yes, we're struggling with depression. And yes, we're going to pass it down. But y'all, we're freaking talking about it. We aren't expecting them to have these big emotions and have it all figured out. No, mom has big emotions and mom is still trying to figure out her big emotions. And mom overthinks. She overfeels. She overloves. She overstresses. Because y'all, I'm freaking passionate. And you don't get one without the other. Exactly. And that's okay.
It's a beautiful lesson.
Yes. And not only that, but I think there's this misconception, right, with depression and being sad, that means that you just lay in your bed all day and you're not productive. I think that that's where we are teaching our kids differently. That's not what that means. That means that sometimes life is a little bit harder and we can choose to engulf the hard, or, and I don't know if the word engulf is an actual word.
But I was going to point it out. It's engulf, but we can say engulf, and then I'm just gonna pause and say, you are really pretty. You're really, really pretty. And this is not getting cut, because maybe we'll add second puberty, front fart, and gulp to the new dictionary
Dictionary, damn it. But when you gulp, you suck it in.
Exactly.
That's what, I mean, I want to suck it in.
Engulfing is a thing, for sure.
But we're teaching our children, engulf aside, that just because we're sad doesn't mean we're going to lay in our bed. That means that we're going to stop. We're going to identify how we're feeling. And we're going to say, okay, I feel this way because of X, Y, and Z. What can I do to get around that?
Yes.
And then we do those things.
Yes. And I'm sorry, I'm 47. And a half already. And I'm still learning that as well. My kids teach me more than I teach them at this point, honestly. And this is part of how we were raised and the generations that we come from, and emotions not being talked about and insecurities not being discussed. And especially the culture we were raised in,
where
perfection is kind of expected and everybody shows up on the same day of the week looking their best with their perfection. And they're all talking about all the, we all go home and kind of crumble inside. Because we've been exposed to this day in and day out. And it's really, really difficult to break free from perfection. And now we're trying to come
and
in.
And avoided fear.
And have an avoided fear. Yeah. Guilt and shame reigned supreme. Because it's like, am I limiting some sort of connection?
Let's lean into that. Let's just be transparent. That is absolutely another thing that I'm struggling with. I'm coming up on 9 years where we made it past the 7 year itch, barely made it
to
nine.
And was an 8 year itch.
I didn't think that you'd call me out on that. I thought it was an 8 year itch, damn it. And I'm pretty sure it is.
I'm going to call you out. It's 7 year itch, but for Melissa, it was an 8 year itch.
I felt the 8 year itch, but I've read somewhere that, and by read, I mean saw it on social media, just saying. But it said something like, naturally as humans, every 9 years, now I'm confused if it's 9 or 7. I can't remember. Either 9 or 7, you get it. But every cell in your body has been replaced. And that is why you see a lot of people transform or change every either 7 or 9 years.
7 or 9.
Because of that, you're every 7 to 9 years, you are essentially an entirely new person. And you think about that, dude, that is why you have a 7 year itch in marriage, because you're no longer that same person. And if you're not on the same page, you are trying to figure out exactly who this person is. And dude, we have had so much shit in the last year, so much. And we won't get into all of that shit, but
maybe someday.
But that has been something that I have learned very much so firsthand, that no marriage is perfect. And if it looks like it's perfect, that it is superficial as hell, which I want nothing part of. I want to fight. I want to grow. I want you to push my buttons so that I know where I need to work on. And I want to curse at you in those moments.
And I love that you said curse.
I know.
Because it's so grown up and diplomatic. But I'm so happy that you talked about that, because that's not something, it's not my story to tell. And it obviously isn't something I would have brought up talking about on this podcast with you. But I've known about the struggles over the last year. But you have had a really, really trying year. And to look at your social media, no one would know that.
No.
And it's not because you're trying to be fake. It is because you are trying to cope. But that's what this podcast is for too.
Yep.
To be able to say, like, look, this is what it looks like. Yeah, I look like I've got shit ton of rhythm and I live like a really fun life.
That's a stretch.
I mean, no, we know that's not true. Next time you come to Hawaii, we'll record a video of a dance off with you and I, and we will see who's got the rhythm in the group. It ain't me. We saw me trying to like twerk in our trailer when you got up on the chair. I mean, I know that's not even twerking, but I was just trying to move. Anyway, a lot of people are talking about it, and that's a beautiful thing. And we wanted to continue the conversation. And we hope that in the comments of this episode, people will share things that they're struggling with and submit their emails and their messages to heysisunfiltered@gmail.com and continue the conversation. Let's talk about the things. We're excited to be announcing that we're going to be doing some fun things. We're going to have a mom and me, which is going to be Melissa and the incomparable Cynthia, who is honestly the coolest, craziest mother on the planet.
Hysterical. And then
we're also, so that will be the mom and me. And then we're also going to have my daughter, the 19-year-old, beautiful Gracie girl, who has also always been known as Sis. And that'll be the mini and me. And we're just going to share some conversations with our moms, with our daughters, with things. And we want to hear from you guys, things that you're struggling with, things that your children are struggling with, things that you've seen your parents struggle with. I've had some really powerful, honestly, life-changing and eye-opening conversations with my mom in the last couple of weeks that I had no idea of the struggles that she has dealt with and hid because it just wasn't appropriate to talk about back in the day. There are conversations that need to be had on all fronts, and it's just, it's not a direction we necessarily thought this podcast was going to go. And it has just kind of evolved into that. And we are so excited for the future and the conversations, and we want your feedback, and we want to continue these because this is what it's all about, girls. Unfiltered sisters talking, sharing, being obnoxious, dancing, crying, and setting personal life goals that come with bets that we may be discussing in the future.
No, we're not, because you're going to hold on to that bet.
I'm going to hold on to it. And if not, I may be recording an episode in a swimsuit and we'll talk about it later. We know how hard that's going to be based on what I started.
What we just talked about.
So, fingers crossed that Amy can set a goal and stick with it, okay? And also, if you want to see this happen, if we get at least 200 downloads of this episode, then Melissa has the upper hand.
So, yes. And you all know you want to see me win.
Everybody wants to see Melissa win.
Yes.
Nobody wants to see me record in a swimsuit. So weigh your options. And I promise to make it good. But if you have enjoyed this episode or any of our previous episodes, we really hope that you will like, follow, subscribe, and share with your friends. We want to bring connection to the homes of all of our beautiful women who are struggling with the same things that we are.
You may not find people broadcasting their failure, their challenges on social media, but y'all, that's our goal with this podcast, is we aren't afraid to broadcast our failure, our challenges. We will upload our weaknesses, and we will not only show our good stuff, but we will show our bad stuff.
We're not
holding back.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, you're going to have to watch the YouTube video because I'm going to tell you again.
I love it. Y'all, listen, remember that we're all in this together. Social media is a highlight reel. Don't make assumptions. Don't make comparisons. Just go outside, understand what makes you and what your value brings to this world, and focus on that. And then like, share, and follow our podcast.
And please submit your own personal stories, comments, questions. We love to hear from our listeners. We actually have gotten a lot that we're super excited to share in the future on one of our Hey Sis episodes. So we'll be bringing that to you. But we appreciate you all. We're happy you're here. We're happy we get to share. And until next time.
See you next week, sis.